This is Stephen Downs. I am presenting Convergent Discussions in the Fediverse. And I'm doing it this way because I keep forgetting to turn on my recording devices. I've only been doing it since 2004, recording my talks, but I still forget. All right. So, how many of you were here for what just transpired? Only one. Two. No, just one. Oh, well, you're the only one who gets the full benefit of this because all of what I just said applies here. And I didn't get a complete recording of the previous presentation. I missed the first, I don't know, maybe 5 minutes of it. I got a lot of the good bits, though. All right. I won't actually start with the demo, but I'll show you the demo, or I'll show you what the demo would look like. This is a thing I built. I did have some assistance from ChatGPT building it, but as I mentioned in the previous talk, ChatGPT maxes out at about 1,300 words, give or take, and this is way more than 1,300 words, so it wrote a lot of the functions for me, but I had to put it all together. And of course, I thought of this, ChatGPT didn't. But something I've been working on for a long time. Let's set the stage, but let's first look at the promises I made in the abstract. I make promises, I don't always deliver on them. So I'm going to talk about what the Fediverse is. I'm going to talk about the dynamics of online discussions. I'm going to talk and show you Convergent Fediverse discussion software, and it's actually more than that. It is a fully functioning personal learning environment. It is, to my knowledge, the only one that has actually been built. Certainly seems to be the only one you could use today. You can use this today. It actually works, and you don't need to do any special installation of software or anything like that. We'll talk about that. And interactive practice, using software among the participants to conduct an online convergent discussion. That's a bit ambitious for a one-hour session. Super ambitious for a one-hour session, especially given there's three full points ahead of it. And then consideration of learning potential for convergent discussions in the future. So all that stuff I said before about societies, learning, being learning societies and all of that, that applies here. This is a tool for that. And it's also a tool for personal learning, again, as described previously. So learning outside the formal structure, outside the typical course structure, learning not based on creating content per se that you hand in to be graded. Kind of tricky. All right. So where are we going to start? We're going to start with the Fediverse. How many of you are familiar with the Fediverse? One. Okay. You're all familiar with Twitter and Facebook though, right? Do you agree with me? Yes, you do. That they're awful? Yeah, they are awful, aren't they? This is a slide stole from the keynote. Got a bit of a cameo in it. You know, 82% of Canadians using Facebook, 73% using YouTube, etc., etc. What these have in common is that they're all single website platforms, right? You go to twitter.com or x.com these days. Or as I call it, ex-Twitter, because I think that's funny. Or Facebook.com, YouTube.com, Instagram.com, or whatever. I don't use any Facebook products. I don't use any Twitter products. I do use LinkedIn. I don't know why. I used to use TikTok, and then it filed a copyright claim on me because I violated the copyright of John Cage. And for those of you who are familiar with John Cage and his epic work, 4 minutes, 33 seconds, it consists of nothing but silence. Yes, I had a silent video that I was accused of copying from John Cage. I complained, I got nothing back, I quit TikTok on the spot. It's just wrong, right? It's just wrong. And a lot of people think so. So, people got together separately and they developed something called the Fediverse. This actually has its origins in the World Wide Web Consortium. You might not know that. The World Wide Web Consortium created something called ActivityPub. Basically, it's a distributed messaging system. So we can send messages back and forth the way we do on Twitter or Facebook, except we don't depend on a single server. And that's what it did. And then a guy called Eugen Roshko, a Russian living in Germany, created the software for an application called Mastodon. And Mastodon implements the ActivityPub protocol that the World Wide Web Consortium came up with. Here is what Facebook and Twitter and the rest of them look like. One central server, everybody connects to that one central server. The one central server is God. It sees all, it knows all. If it doesn't like you, it kicks you off. If it wants to censor you or accuse you of violating copyright for having a silent video, it does. Not so here. The Fediverse, think of multiple instances of Twitter or multiple instances of Facebook using open source software that connect to each other. And each one of these, it's called an instance, a number of people can join. So you still have a whole bunch of people, right? And they're still all connected together, but these distributed servers act as an intermediary. This is really important because each server can set its own policies. And anyone, even you if you felt like it, could set up an instance of one of these and join the Fediverse yourself that way. There's all kinds of stuff that happens, right? Not everybody likes everybody, so they don't all connect to each other. There's a thing called being defederated, where nobody else will connect with you. You've heard of Donald Trump's Truth Social? You may have. Donald Trump has his own version of Twitter called Truth Social. Truth Social is, in fact, Mastodon. But nobody will connect to him. He's a completely defederated instance of Mastodon. So it sort of sits there all by itself in the middle of nowhere. I find that hilarious. So that's the basic concept. Now, there's a whole bunch, and we'll talk a bit about a few of them. Mastodon, Blue Sky, which was created by some former Twitter people. Lemmy, which is a federated version of Reddit. PeerTube, which is a federated version of YouTube. PixelFed, which is a federated image sharing service like Instagram. So, and there's many more. But they can all connect with each other. Make sense? It's really simple, isn't it? People get really messed up with this concept, but they shouldn't. People like to say, it's like email, if you think about it, right? There's the university email server where your university account is. There's Hotmail, for those of you who still have Hotmail. Please say you don't still have Hotmail.
I still have Hotmail.
Okay. two out of six have Hotmail. That might be
Hotmail
a Gmail, right? Outlook.com, right? Just like email, common protocols connect. They don't all like each other. And in the world of email, there's a whole set of protocols so that if you're not following the protocol and you send an email from one server to this server says, wait a sec, you're not following all the protocols, I refuse your email. And you get a bounce, right? So you've seen, probably seen that happen. Same concept, except with messaging or with videos or with pictures or whatever. All right. Let's think about online discussion for a moment. To my mind, online discussion has never really worked. And I have an explanation for that, but this slide illustrates some of my long history with online discussion. I mean long. This over here is from a site called Hotwired, and I used to be a regular on a service called Threads, which was a discussion board that started around 1995 or so, give or take. So, and it's interesting because the only reason I ever became a blogger and ever created my own website was because I had lots of posts on Threads, and I asked myself one day, what happens if they shut down Threads? And I realized all my posts would be lost. So I copied them all onto web pages, and that was the beginning of my website and my blog. They, of course, did shut down Threads. I think it lasted to 1998, something like that. Slashdot. Reddit is there. Moodle discussions, because we could also look at the disaster area called in-course discussion areas, where you actually have to force people to participate. Think about that. Humans are the most chatty species on the planet, and yet we have to force them to talk to each other in our classes. Discourse. Alan Levine, who you may or may not know, is doing heroic work with a discourse installation for the OER Consortium. OER Consortium or Open Learning Consortium? Yeoman work. Nobody uses it. And in fact, a bunch of people who he works with told him, no, we've set up a group on LinkedIn. And I can just imagine the poor guy. Just, but you know, it's hard, right? And it's hard because all of these sites, they're all separate. You could never communicate from one of these services to another. You can't send a message from Facebook to Twitter. You can't send a message from LinkedIn to anywhere, right? Terrible stuff. So, how do we address this? Well, there's the interoperability, but there's also just the design of these discussion areas in general. So here's linear discussion lists. It's the design of the old Threads. You might see it in IRCs or in chat discussions. It's the sort of thing we'll see on Discord, on Matrix, various other discussion systems, right? It's just a list of comments. Linear, right? For a long time, it was my favorite kind of discussion because it made sense. I've lost 20% of my audience. Actually, no, not 20%. What am I saying? 15.5%. No, never mind. Can't do math and talk at the same time. But it makes sense. But I discovered that it really messes up a lot of people because if you get more than like a few people in the discussion, it just goes on and on and on and on, or it flashes by you so fast. Now, back in the day, people were used to that and they would just, just surf in the chat, right? You don't have to read every message, just pick out what's interesting, but hard to do anything with. So we've got threaded discussion lists. You all have seen threaded discussion lists. this is a classic formulation of a threaded discussion. It's a classic result. Somebody makes a comment, somebody replies to the reply, somebody replies to the reply to the reply, somebody replies to the reply to the reply, somebody replies to the reply to the reply to the reply. All right, you get these dangling threads. And they tail off into nothingness. The mail servers especially. You may remember things like the old DOS, Distance Education Online Symposium mailing list was one, or www.dev, or www.edu. These were all threaded lists. Their archives were all threaded. And what would happen is you'd have a topic, you'd have two or three people comment, and then you'd have two people going back and forth, 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 and for eternity. And they would dominate the entire discussion, and nobody could get a word in edgewise, and besides that, everybody was lost. You know, this is the dominant form of online courses, isn't it? Ever see anything different? Linear or threaded?
We talked this morning about social annotation on documents.
Yeah.
So that's an interesting one where you're focused on some particular text and then you can connect comments to text and then thread those.
Yeah, single level threaded basically, or yeah. Yeah, and actually Hotwired used to do that, well, except they weren't threaded, but they would start with an article and then you'd be commenting on the article. Or even with something like Hypothesis, you can comment on a single paragraph and then thread from there. But that's basically it. I mean, that's the big advance of the last 25 years is commenting on documents. Something teachers were doing with red pens since prehistory. So, you can also have linear threaded discussion lists. It's a combo form, right? And this is what discourse has, which is why people find it so confusing. So you have a bunch of topics, and then each topic will feed out into a thread. And that's also the organization that we see on Mastodon today and on Blue Sky today, is this modified form. But still, linear or threaded. And you're probably thinking, well, yeah, but so what? Well, nothing ever gets resolved, right? You never reach any conclusion. You tail off into nothingness. There's no, as we say, convergence. You just discuss and discuss and discuss and discuss. Imagine science worked that way. On the other hand, you can have convergence if you rethink what a discussion looks like. Right? It's not just comment and reply, comment and reply, comment and reply. Right? Here we have a model, just a model, of a convergent discussion. Doesn't matter what they're talking about. Person makes a comment, we get two replies to that comment. We get two replies to that first reply. So far, ordinary threaded. And we even get a third level of reply to the reply. But then what happens is this person replies to this person and this person at the same time. And then this person replies to this person and this person at the same time. Now, it doesn't always work out like this, but one thing comes in, you bash it around a bit, and something comes out the other end. It converges to something. Now, I'm not saying this is the guarantee of, you know, the future of humanity or anything like that. I'm just saying it's a better way to do online discussions. And it's something that we've done for years, millennia. Right, we don't just comment on papers, right? You take a look at any paper in any discipline, right? We have a paper, somebody will cite the paper, And then the next person that comes along cites the first two papers, because they're building on what has come before, but they're bringing it together. Very often, that's how we get our new ideas. So we have Kepler taking the observations of Tycho Brahe and the mathematics of, say, I forget who he took it from, Galileo, brings them together and gives us the elliptical theory of orbits. Brilliant. But you got to bring things together. That's how we get scientific advance. So far, so good? Mm-hmm. Makes sense? Seems to have nothing to do with AI, does it? It doesn't, really. Okay. Well, they're working on it, but they're working on it from the central hub kind of thing. And, you know, there are citation tools that are out there that people know. Zotero is a good example of it. There are others, the note-taking tools and so on. But there are all these horrible platforms that we talked about earlier. So some people thought about convergence. Obsidian, great example. Some people thought of convergence. Some people have thought about decentralization. But for some reason, nobody's put them together. And we're back to our full complement. So to wrap up then, no, I'm just kidding. So here's what I do. Here's my thinking. This is a model I've had for many years and just agonized over. So we have our decentralized distributed social networks. We bring things together in a writing environment, and then we send it back out to our social networks. I've described this in the world of MOOCs under the formulation aggregate, remix, repurpose, feed forward, or ARF, in honor of Alan Levine, the cog dog block. Here's the flow of such a system. All right. So we bring stuff together, we remix it, we repurpose it, we feed it forward. Four panes: left pane, read pane, right pane, right pane. Because I am terrible at naming things. You should see the software behind that. Is this right pane or right pane? Fortunately, the AIs that I use don't know the meanings of words, also doesn't know how they're pronounced. So right and right, just two completely different things to ChatGPT. It never confuses them. Now, some caveats about what I'm showing you here. Totally prototype. This is me hacking on a computer. It's not a completed application. That's probably all it will ever be, right? It's a way of trying to express what I'm trying to say through code. If I were a better coder, I'd say more complex things, but this is what I can say for now. I'll show you a live demo. It'll break. It always does. Other people have done some of the things. You may see some patterns, some design patterns that I'm following, that's fine. I'm always happy to give credit to other people, it doesn't matter. No, it's not secure against all possible attacks. I know other people could have written the software better. Like, it's me, a computer, and ChatGPT, and zero resources. Now, what did I think about when putting this together? First of all, let's get rid of the stupid platforms. This is a single user application. It's personal to you, right? It's not, you know, you go in and you log into Facebook or Twitter or even Mastodon. There is logging in, we'll talk about that. But this is, you have one, everybody has one, just like your email, right? Everybody has one. You know, you don't share your email account with the rest of the department. It's completely open source. And I have official permission from the Government of Canada to license it as CC BY. I license it as CC BY and not as some sort of software license because it's written in JavaScript. It's just script, right? Nothing fancy. It's all designed to be distributed and decentralized. There's no central node, no central index. It's like the Federation. You could have one completely running completely off by itself, not connected to anything, no problem. It's as simple as possible. Simple as understood by me. Which, you know, as human factors, people would say, you know, it's probably a terrible way of defining simple, but the idea is that it can run anywhere, and I mean literally anywhere. You should be able to run it off your desktop. You should be able to run it off your phone. Kind of, sort of, maybe. There's things that I could do. There are just some fundamental limitations in the technology that I'm trying to work with, but that's what I'm aiming for. It's plain HTML, JavaScript, and CSS. There's no libraries, no Node, no, you know, React, which is a product by Facebook, which I won't touch. Nothing fancy. It's all basic script. Again, just because I wanted to keep it independent of any dependencies. Here it is. Okay. This is the fully functional version. It doesn't have to look like this. It can be a very simple version. I'll show you a little bit. But the read, right? So here are basically all of my accounts. I bring in the content here and I can read it. This is just like the main feed on Twitter or on Facebook, except there's no algorithm. Now, as an aside, there could be an algorithm, but it would be your algorithm, not Facebook's. Think about that. This is a writing pane. I know it doesn't really look like one, but it's you can write your own content here. And then save. You can either save locally to your own file system or save to any of the instances out there on the social network, or you can blog it or whatever. Eventually I want it to save to email, save to newsletter, whatever. So far so good?
So the sources on the left there, so say you check Blue Sky, does that load in the second pane? You're looking at your Blue
That's exactly what happens, yeah.
And then do you select one of the posts and then it's the writing is linked to that post, or is it more of like a based on all you're seeing in the feed?
Let me show you. I'll show you. It'll be easier to show you. This is the live demo part. Okay. So that probably just stayed up. Yes, of course it did. So we'll stop the presentation. If I can find the presentation. No, don't do that. There we go. Okay, we'll stop the presentation. How?
It's too disruptive.
No, no, this is what I wanted to do. It's just I can never remember how to stop the presentation, which is stupid. I don't know if there's a way. How can there not be a button that says stop?
Power
yeah. Yeah, pardon?
Could you press escape?
No. That did it. Just shut it right off. Okay. Now, you can access this as well. It'll look a little bit different for you than it does for me because, well, it'll kind of look like this. And So I'm going to log in. Now I'm not logging into a platform. I'm logging in to a third-party service that keeps all my accounts for me. Now, in this case, I wrote my own third-party service. But there are alternatives as well. Strictly speaking, you don't need to use that third-party service. But I do. So I've logged in, and here are these accounts. So I'll show you what I mean by that third-party service. So I call it KV Store, for Key Value Store. Again, there are commercial applications that do that for you, like Vault is one that I've been working with. So I have a bunch of different accounts, and for each account, depending on the type of account it is, I have various values. So here's, for example, a Mastodon account. And so my username, the permissions, and an access code. We'll talk about that in a sec. So, and I have accounts for all of my, I have an account for every service. I can have more than one account on any given service. I just give the account a different name, and I have a different access code. So far, so good? Okay. In theory, and back in the day, I could have done this. I could have had an account for Twitter, an account for Facebook, and an account for LinkedIn. Today, that is impossible. The access by third-party software to those services has either been cut off completely or costs way more money than I have, which is none. So I don't have those. And again, that's the problem with the platform system, right? All these platforms are closed, they're proprietary, they don't interoperate with anything else. But the Fediverse stuff, like Mastodon, does. Let's have a look at Mastodon before I do anything else. Here's Mastodon. Very slowly, here's Mastodon. So this, if you're familiar with TweetDeck, that's what this looks like. If I didn't use the deck view, it would look a lot like Twitter. Oops. Oh, stupid. I turned off my computer. Okay, here we go. All right, let's try that. No, it's still going to give me deck. Right, because I have deck as an option. Never mind. Okay, so here's my home feed. There are various other feeds. Here are notifications. And this is just some ways of getting access to more feeds. Like, for example, here are my bookmarks. And if I wanted, I could search on a hashtag, like Otessa. And has anybody done anything on Otessa? Nope, nobody's been posting on. Oh, Paul Hibbets did. Very nice. Oh, that was 2024. Yeah. So, yeah, that's kind of what I thought. There may be stuff on Twitter for Otessa or Facebook or whatever. See, if it was on the Fediverse, it wouldn't matter which service you were using. You use one hashtag and everybody could find it. Right? Because this hashtag search, it's checking every instance, not just mastodon.social, which is where we are, but all the other different instances. Anyhow, I can make a post, just like on Twitter. So let's make a post. Here I am. Demo. Demonstrating Mastodon at Otessa 2025, hashtag Otessa. And we'll post. Also works on the phone. I can take a picture and upload it, etc. Just like Twitter, really, right? So, yeah, and so here's my account. and I can go into my account details, preferences. Right, it's all really similar. And development, and you see these applications. Here's one for C-List. I've given it some permissions. I can create a new application. When I create a new application and set the permissions, Mastodon will give me an access code. And they use that access code to connect C-List to Mastodon. Twitter used to do that. You could go into Twitter's development area, create a service and an access code. Twitter would give you an access code, and you could generate a new one anytime you wanted just by logging into Twitter again. And it would allow you to connect, but not anymore, because this was even before Elon Musk. Twitter blocked access way before Elon Musk. Elon Musk monetized it. That's all he did. Okay, so here we are. Let's go back to where we were. So I select my account. So here's following. There's my bookmarks, various lists. I'll just pick the following. So here's the here's Cool Surfer Dude saying hello Otessa. That's cool. So that's cool. Let's tell the story of that. All right. So I typed and then he replied. And you see I just click the arrow, right? Now the formatting's a little bit off. I'd really rather it was over there, but yeah, can't have everything. And so you see what I've done, right? I've taken two separate posts, converged them together. Now they're in a single post, and I'm replying to both of them at once. And so I can save that. I should have more. I can save it as a local file. I don't see why I can't. Oh, right, save rather than post. Or I can post that, so I can save it as a local file. That blank one there, that's future technology. That's saved to cloud eventually. I'll just use the Google Cloud API and write to that, but I don't have that working yet. So I can send this. Let's send this to my blog, because it might be a bit long for a Mastodon post. So I'll publish. Now I've published this to my blog. And if you don't believe me, here it is. I didn't give it a title, but Downs wrote, here I am demonstrating or demonstrating Mastodon. And here he replied. So my post is responding to the two things at once.
Steven, are those ads going out into like Activity Pub, or does say Todd get a notification that you're
So, no, not at the moment. So, and that's a great question. Now, if I just simply replied to him here, right, then he would, because I'm just using the Mastodon status posting, so that goes out as a reply to, and we can see that here. I'll reload. I forgot. My leftish.media WordPress blog is also part of the Fediverse, and I use my Mastodon account to follow my WordPress account, so my WordPress post just showed up here. And so anybody who follows my WordPress post would have seen this. Here's my response to Cool Surfer Dude. right? And you can see it says replied. This one doesn't say replied. So, yeah. So many technical things. The design of ActivityPub, and therefore the design of Mastodon, and therefore the design of Blue Sky and everything else, has the data element reply to defined as a string and not an array. Now what that means is you can only have one reply to. It's linear, right? But if it was an array, I could be replying to more than one at a time. For me to fix that, I need to download an instance of Mastodon, open up the code, learn how Mastodon works. Mastodon is written in a software language called Ruby, and specifically Ruby on Rails, which I sort of know, sort of don't know. Find the definition of reply to, change that to an array, and then fix every spot that refers to that so that it refers to an array and not a string. So a bit of a pain to fix. But if that was done, or if somebody, not me, did that, or if somebody built software servers that could accommodate that, then I could be replying to multiple people at once as, I don't know, I was going to say as the good Lord intended, but that's probably overstating it a bit. What do you think so far?
It's great. I just need to train, but thank you so much. It's great.
I'm sorry, you can't leave. This is a platform. No. You're captured.
The door is locked.
The door is locked. I don't even know how much time I have to go. Probably not too much, eh? So, yeah. I won't go back to the slides. I'll just show you the stuff that's on the slides from here, and then you can go back to the slides and you'll see some explanation of them. So here's Blue Sky. Remember I talked about things being silos, right? Twitter can't talk to Facebook and Facebook can't talk to Twitter. Well, here's Blue Sky, and let's get rid of all of this. And now, let's just get the timeline from Blue Sky. And we'll take one of these. Insect die off. You wouldn't believe. You know, when I'm at the football game, I look up the lights on the stadium. They used to be covered with moths and other bugs. Now when I look up, you see a few, hardly any. It's like more than 90% of the insect population has died off. And people go, oh, well, whatever. We don't like bugs anyways. It just kills me. Yeah. Anyhow. So I'd like to promote Veronica's statement about that. So I've taken it from Blue Sky. I'll go right. And I'll select Downs, which we recall is my Mastodon account. And let's also select Blue Sky. Might as well send my reply to both of them. I'll publish. So it should have gone to both of them. Should have. Okay. Let's reload. It might not have. It doesn't seem to have gone to Mastodon. You would think sending a message to multiple services is simple, but no. This probably failed because it was too long. I bet you it failed on Blue Sky for the same reason. Let's check. Yeah, it didn't. Oh, wait, let's check me. I can never, on Blue Sky, I can never find how to get to my own account to see my own posts. I don't follow myself. It's a pain. See, I just get add another, oh well. I'll just assume, oh, maybe this. There we go. Yeah, no, it didn't show up there either. It was too long for both of those. So I need to, what I need to do is write a check or have a thing that, and that's what those permissions are supposed to do, is to define how long the post can be on the different service and then trim it to that length. But I've done the math a little bit wrong there. Either that, or if I'm signing to multiple services, it's not looping through them quite right. This is all the stuff you can't really depend on ChatGPT to figure out, because it doesn't really know what you're trying to do. Because, as I said in my previous presentation, ChatGPT doesn't understand the content, just understands the sequencing. So it has no way of reading my intent. Some neat things. I want to show you this at the very least. I'm going to load a template. Maybe. No, it's not. I'm going to load. Also, it's being really slow because I don't know why. There we go. I had this problem earlier as well. Okay, here we go. Load content. So, let's load a template, or no, let's generate a new template. There we go. This template is generated in real time by AI. And I'll generate it in, well, I'll pick text. It'll take a little bit of time. So the idea here is, in my editing area, I'm not just doing stuff myself. I can preload a template, then get some content that I've gotten from social media loaded into that template, and then send all of that off as a blog post if I want. But even better, now that I have an edit, now that I have the template generated, I'll load it in Etherpad. And here's my Etherpad. And now I can use my template, which unfortunately I generated in text, which probably wasn't the right thing to do. But now I can work with another person collaboratively, me in my personal learning environment, they in their personal learning environment. We're combining on a document. You are using your sources, the feeds that you follow. I'm using the feeds that I follow. We bring it all in together, convergence on convergence, then we can each individually send it to our separate networks or blogs or wherever. One more thing. It's also connected to Google search and DuckDuckGo search and OASIS Open Educational Resources. Oops, I forgot to search for anything, but it still gives me a result. You can imagine, I can connect to any number of open educational resource repositories, or, and this is another thing that is future technology, I can give it a request. Please create a resource that teaches me blah, blah, blah. The AI will create an open educational resource on the fly and give it to me so that I can read it right here in my reading pane. And then I'll select a paragraph from it and feed it in into my feed. Actually, it'll feed it wherever my cursor is. So let me move that down a bit. Oops, here we go. Let's see what we get now. Come on.
So that text above there is
there it is.
It looks certainly sus.
Yeah. Well, it looks sus because it's text formatted in an HTML environment. That's why it looks sus. If I had generated it as HTML, it would look like a nice template. But it doesn't prevent you from making mistakes like that. It could, but it doesn't. So think about it, right? And one last thing, the feeds are automatically translated in the background on the fly. Now, you have to be careful with that. I accidentally charged myself about $300 last November testing the service, testing the system. So, yeah. That's the sort of thing that can happen if you're not careful. But you would all be smart enough not to sign up for something like that. So I need to optimize that a bit so that it works and doesn't break the bank when you translate. Because, you know, when you don't notice what it's costing, you could translate everything. One of the things it does is every single post it checks, it tests, and uses AI to detect what language it's in. Because what I've discovered is people lie about what language they're using. And so they declare that they're using English, but what they're really using is Slovenian. And so I was missing a whole bunch of Slovenian content, because I do follow someone who writes in Slovenian. And so I have to check, okay, this isn't English, this is Slovenian, okay, translate from Slovenian. And I get his very localized content. So, okay, let me wrap up. Mundane tool, right? I mean, I think it's pretty smart myself, but I mean, it's just a piece of tech, who cares, right? We saw several tech just demonstrations at this, and this isn't even tech you can buy, right? You can use it anytime, this, you know, to the extent that it functions, you could use it now. All you have to do is go to that address and you could create your account in the KV store and start storing your credentials. There's instructions that show you how you could use it. And I'm not worried because you would not be using my AI translation service because that's only for me. You want AI translation, you pay for it, all right? Or any of the other services. Some of the services, you know, I mean, well, think about what I connect to. I connect to the Key Value Store. I connect to an Etherpad server. I connect to three different types of AI. I connect to Mastodon, to Blue Sky, all of these external servers, right? So, but what's happening is I'm creating, if enough people use this, and of course it's a network effect, right? There has to be enough people using it. But if enough people use this or something like this, I don't care if it's this, then we create that network of connected people, each with their own distinct set of resources, or if you will, their own individual context, where context is used in the same sort of technical sense it was in the previous talk, right? Interacting back and forth. Think about how that changes most of what we've been talking about this whole conference, right? Open educational resources. You know, every single one of these posts is in its own way an open educational resource, and it's shared out there in this open network. And they build together, they feed on each other. So we're creating collectively a base of resources. This base of resources can be stored in external servers like cloud servers or databases or wherever we want to store them. And we're not all going off in our own individual directions. We're bringing together content so that, well, we're convergent. So we're creating a kind of social intelligence by thinking of ourselves not as separate atomistic individuals who have read Ayn Rand and believe in techno-capitalism, and not as young communists who think that we're always collaborating, always working toward the same objectives together as defined by the party, but cooperating, right? Each of us with our own individual, distinct, diverse perspective, each of us putting in to the system and getting out of the system what we can and what we need. And as a model of learning, now if I need to learn something, I can get the resources that I need, content, video, AI stuff, search, whatever. I can learn whatever I need, and I can report on the results of my learning back to the original person or on to the next person who needs to learn. It acts as a filtering system as well as a search and discovery system, because you won't always find from the original source the resource that you need. You'll find a resource because it doesn't just exist, but it was used by this person, used by that person, used by that person. Sort of a distributed version of the page algorithm for search ranking that Google originally used. So that's it. I could go on talking much more, but I really, really shouldn't. But thank you all for your time. Oh, and you can ask questions if you want.
It's really interesting, I think. And in the last session, we were talking about the Twitter that was a little bit, and the social fabric that was. And I haven't quite gotten as deep into Mastodon as I had been at the time when Twitter was something quite different, and it's not like even Twitter anymore. I'm very careful not to have a Blue Sky, a Mastodon. I guess those are not really, you're managing those accounts, those are just your sources. But like the hope I had for Mastodon and the Activity Pub was that you could like subscribe to people's blogs, you could subscribe to people's chatter,
yep.
You could subscribe to people's photo feeds, and it would all kind of come into one place. It's still a little, I don't know, have you seen that it's, has that been realized? Or
you can do that now.
You can.
Yeah. Because my WordPress blog is federated. I don't use PixelFed, if I did, you'd get my photos. I do use PureTube for some content. That's federated. That also is accessible. It would show up in your Mastodon feed.
So Mastodon is the home.
Can be, yeah. It doesn't have to be. Yeah. I mean, there's any number of online services that use ActivityPub where you can follow all these different types of services. But Mastodon does tend to be the one that people use as their primary. But really, I think that longer term, they'll use something like this and use it to connect to all their different accounts. Mm-hmm. And I had a whole slide and discussion on authentication and identity and how to make that work. And right now, it's not good.
And do you think there would be any value in sort of having them all, like Blue Sky, Mastodon, PixelFed, YouTube, like could it all be
integrated into a single feed?
Would that be value? I don't know.
I don't know. Your mileage may vary, as they say, right? For some people, yeah, it'd be valuable. There's a service out there that does that. I forget the name of it, but I forget what it's called. But gee, you could find it.
Sure.
But what it doesn't have is the editing and the forwarding, right? That's just it. Like every single bit of the thing that I've done, other people have done every piece individually, yeah. Right? But nobody's put them all together into a single application that puts all of the signing on and connecting and that into the background and just gives you a single interface for it all. Mm-hmm. But they will. I mean, this is the story of my software, is that I come up with the software and then a few years later it's invented at Stanford. And no, I don't do that was the question they asked me at NRC, right? Because I work for the government, right? So technically Crown property. So I said, no patents, no. Oh, thank you.
A little card thing.
You know, no royalties, nothing like that. I just want this to be out there in the world for people to see as an example, and they agreed with me. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, you can be sure people at Stanford will patent their version of my, or Harvard or whoever. I mean, that's the history of this stuff, right? Pretty much every major development was created first in some sort of open format by someone, and then someone from one of these elite universities has taken the concept, created a business around it, and locked it down. Every single one.
I can see Obsidian doing it, and then when you're doing your sense making,
mm-hmm.
you could be adding it to, like, you could be adding your hashtags, and it could be growing your graph, and it could go out.
And
then you
yeah.
have like a local graph in and out.
Yeah.
It's like a crystal palace. That has like that's beautiful.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of a student going through like I think my mind always goes to formal higher ed, but imagine instead of all these closed courses in an LMS, they had this record
mm-hmm.
that lives before, during, after.
Yeah.
It's very powerful.
Yeah. One of the sources I want to connect to it is Pressbooks, because they're pretty open, right? And so instead of a feed, properly so-called, you'd get the contents of the press book organized in some way so that you could read the whole press book without having to expand every page the way you have to in press book. It's so user hostile.
Yeah.
But just read the whole book and then select a paragraph or whatever and feed that into something that you're going to write about. And as well, Moodle, take a Moodle course, present that as a feed. Again, without all of that overhead for navigation, you just present it as a feed and then just go through it.
You've created a For You page that isn't intended to corrupt you in some way. It's your own page.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, Temple's got a lot of open courseware.
Similarly.
So.
Same with the editing window in this. This is where the activities go as well, right? So if I write something, or if we create something in H5P, right, instead of putting it in the feed, put it directly into the editing window, and then you can use external content or whatever and work with it that way.
Mm-hmm.
So
where did the title come from, C-List?
C-List?
Fediverse.
Oh, so... Federation, so because Master Activity Pub defines a soft or a, you know, a messaging federation, and verse, because everything's a verse, right? So it's the Bloggerverse, Cyberverse, or I guess it's cyberspace, but nobody said Fediverse. Could have been, but verse is better. So that's where it comes from, a federated. Federated universe.
So we'll be watching, but we can use the service if we want. I saw when you go there, it says log in, so you just create an account.
Yeah, you can use it now.
We can play.
It really seriously exists. There's no conditions. But because think about it. If you go to that website and it's on your browser, the entire application is now sitting in your browser.
Mm-hmm.
You could actually just save that web page. Now, if you try to run it off of your desktop, you will run into some cross-origin scripting problems. I have another page in my presentation about those. But if you load that content onto your own server somewhere, it'll run. Or you can just use mine. I don't care, because all you're doing, from my perspective, all you're doing is downloading a web page. You're not using any of my system resources. So I could support a million people with not one page. Now, my KV store, maybe not. But, yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
You're coming tomorrow, right?
Yeah, I'll be back.
So we didn't talk to you at lunch.
Yeah. Just so long as I'm there for my ball game, it's a quote-unquote work from dome tomorrow. So what you're supposed to do is take your work with you and go watch the ball game. It starts at 3.
Nice. You're still going to the concert?
I think so, yeah.
Recording stopped.
I'm going to rush back to my hotel and refresh.
Oh, thank you.
Oh,
is it
Muji?
No, it's not
Muji. No, it's Uniqlo.
Uniqlo.
Similar.
The Japanese. Japanese
and...
And I'll meet you down there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
I'm just
going to
reset and refresh.
Thanks,
Stephen.
Thanks. Yeah, it's 6:30. I think most people have one Catalina time. Don't expect that hotel if they weren't here. I'm going to be just sort of hanging out in the library probably, or going and getting. Are you in Toronto?
No, I live in Hamilton.
Hamilton. Well, if you want to hang out, we can try to find something where we could go to a local place to have a drink.
Okay. Where did you decide for dinner? Are we still
going to Hot House?
We are.
Hot House.
We are, yeah. Okay, I'll
6:30.
See you there.
Anyone who says to stay there, we have one of those products. We're going to be on the pedagogy thing was interesting, or maybe we can unpack that a little bit at the end, like the vision. So it's not the student created content, it's the student creating content. But I think that that's kind of an interesting sort of next step discussion that would be.
Yeah.
I think it's cool.
Hi, Brian. Do you know anyone?
No, I just.
Session's
over.
Yeah, Stephen went on a bit longer, so
that's. Yeah, sorry about that.
No, it's good. It would be good to have maybe slides on this.
Oh, yeah.
If you're interested.
Yeah, no, I share everything. I mean, that's how it works. So. It would be so silly to cram all those slides. It's like, no, you can't help me.
Yeah.
But we're going to go to
Do you drink wine before the 6:30? Because I don't have to go back to my office and go in line and
kind of
further.
Yeah.
Wandering
the street.
Steven, are you going to the dinner? No. Baseball game. Oh, you're going to the Jays? Nice. I was thinking of going, but I never followed through on it.
I was thinking 3 games against the Phillies. They're usually a pretty soft team, so probably see some wins this year. Mm-hmm. Best team in the majors right now.
I know. Yeah, and they smoked the Jays last night, eh?
6 runs in the first inning.
Yeah.
But, that'll do it.
Yeah. But what can you do?
Yeah. Might be better tonight.
Might be better tonight. Not sure.
Berrios, I think, maybe.
Maybe.
Virginia.
Yeah, I think we'll miss Guzman. I think he pitched the last day of the athletic series.
Mm-hmm.
Which I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'll have the roof open tonight. It'll be a nice night. Should get some home runs in this heat too.
Yeah, the ball was flying last night.
Yeah. Hey.
Hey, David Snyder got a homer.
Nice. I see Barges doing well too,
yeah.
Now. I'm living in Vancouver now, and so I'll watch the Canadians, here and there, mm-hmm. and when I can. And Yeah, a couple years ago, Barger, I was like, this guy's going to be a Blue Jay for sure.
Yeah, yeah, and yeah, his track looks really good.
Yeah.
So him and Ernie Clement.
Right, yeah.
Both of them have power.
Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. The other one I saw with the Canadians, and I hope he recovers, that Tiedemann, the pitcher, lefty pitcher, man, can he throw.
Rick Tiedemann.
Yeah, and he just had some, I don't know if it was it Tommy John or?
I think it was.
Yeah, it's just too bad. But yeah, I mean, if he makes a full recovery, he'll still be he's got a long runway ahead of him.
I think they had something like 5 out of 7 had to go for Tommy John. Crazy.
Yeah.
But they're all pitching 95, 96.
That's the thing.
They never used to do that.
No.
And it's just, it takes a toll.
Yeah. Especially on the left. Even on the left.
It was unheard of.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have to have the intelligence as well to be able to do that in left hand before.
Oh!
I love it.
Yeah. Hey, can I get a photo? Yeah. Is that all right?
Yeah.
I really enjoyed the session today. Ah, of course, I have no storage. Never mind. Are you going to be around tomorrow?
Probably this morning.
Yeah. I was excited when I saw you on the program. That's always so many good folks and really good things on the festival. And anyway, yeah, it's great to see you. Yeah. All right. I'll see you tomorrow. Enjoy the ball game.
I will.
Yeah.
Oh, of course it's great. Enjoy it.
Recording in progress. This is Stephen Downs.
Okay.
Yes, thank you.